A mother stands in a pediatrician's office holding her baby, asking a simple question: "Is our tap water safe?" The doctor, confident, well-trained, says yes. Months later, that same doctor discovers she was catastrophically wrong. The water flowing through an entire American city was poisoned with lead, and she had unknowingly told thousands of parents it was fine. This is where most people would crumble. Dr. Mona Hanna Attisha did the opposite. She became a detective, an activist, and ultimately the voice that forced a nation to confront an environmental disaster it wanted to ignore. Flint. Michigan's water crisis wasn't just a failure of infrastructure, it was a failure of democracy, accountability, and basic human decency. When government officials switched the city's water source to save money, they unleashed a neurotoxin into homes, schools, and hospitals. What followed was a masterclass in institutional denial. Officials dismissed complaints, manipulated data, and attacked anyone who questioned them. But one pediatrician refused to stay silent. Her story reveals how ordinary people can challenge power, how science becomes activism when lives are at stake, and why some truths demand to be told, no matter the cost. Dr. Mona never set out to become Flint's hero. Born to Iraqi immigrants, her name means hope in Arabic, chosen by her grandfather to bridge two worlds. Her path to medicine began with trauma. A childhood car accident left her immobilized with a broken jaw and spinal injury. In that hospital bed, a brown-skinned doctor gripped her hand firmly. "You'll be okay," he promised. That moment planted a seed. Years later, she chose Hurley Medical Center, Flint's public hospital serving mostly poor and minority patients. While other doctors sought prestigious suburban practices, she stayed, revitalizing a struggling pediatric residency program and relocating the clinic above a farmer's market, showing Flint's children they deserved beautiful spaces too. She created a community pediatrics rotation, teaching residents that health isn't just treating illness, it's understanding children's environments. She often quoted D.H. Lawrence, "The eyes don't see what the mind doesn't know." That philosophy became prophetic in August 2015. For over a year, Flint residents had complained about foul-smelling, discolored water. Officials insisted it was safe. Dr. Mona confidently told mothers the tap water was fine, even advising against wasting money on bottled water. She trusted the system. That trust would soon haunt her and drive her to dismantle the lies protecting it. At a backyard barbecue, Dr. Mona's friend Elon asked bluntly, "What are you hearing about the Flint water?" When Dr. Mona repeated official reassurances, Elon shook her head. "No, it's really not." Working for a DC think tank, Elon had seen a leaked EPA memo revealing Flint wasn't using corrosion control, a fundamental requirement. Without it, lead was leaching from aging pipes into drinking water. For Dr. Mona, the implications hit like a physical blow. Lead is a devastating neurotoxin with no safe exposure level, causing permanent cognitive impairment. She thought of every baby whose formula she'd recommended mixing with tap water. When Elon realized Dr. Mona had access to children's blood lead data, her eyes locked with focus. "You can do this." That night, after tucking her daughters into bed with stories of their great-grandfather Haji, a man who believed in doing right even when difficult, Dr. Mona began researching. She discovered EPA scientist Miguel del Toral had found serious problems but was dismissed as a rogue employee. As dawn broke, she knew she had to find out if Flint's children were being poisoned. Dr. Mona's team analyzed blood lead levels before and after the water switch. The results were alarming. Elevated levels jumped from 1.5% to 8.5%. Virginia Tech scientist Mark Edwards published Citizen Water Testing with a stark headline: "Flint has a very serious lead in water problem." 40% of samples exceeded safe levels. State spokesman Brad Werfel attacked Edwards for fanning political flames irresponsibly, claiming his team specializes in looking for high lead problems, as if finding poison was suspicious. Dr. Mona expanded their sample to nearly 2,000 children. The data confirmed their fears. Elevated blood lead levels rose significantly after the water switch, 4.0% versus 2.1%. Zip codes with highest water lead showed the greatest increases. To understand how Flint's water became poisoned, you must understand Flint itself. Once America's industrial jewel, by the 1980s, it had become the unemployment capital of America. The legendary 1936 Flint sit-down strike created the grand bargain that built America's middle class. But prosperity required suburban expansion. GM built plants outside city limits, triggering white flight. By 2011, Flint's population had fallen from 200,000 to less than half. Nearly 60% of children lived in poverty. Governor Snyder's emergency manager law allowed state takeover of financially troubled cities. Under emergency management, the fateful decision was made: switch Flint's water to the corrosive Flint River without proper corrosion control. The cost savings? Roughly $5 million. The cost to children? Incalculable. Armed with data, Dr. Mona met Flint Mayor Dane Walling, expecting support from a fellow parent. Instead, she encountered bureaucratic deflection. City manager Natasha Henderson avoided eye contact while Public Works head Howard Croft yawned throughout. Dr. Mona's presentation was stark: pediatric lead exposure in Flint, Michigan, a failure of primary prevention. She presented Michaela, a composite one-year-old whose tap water formula resulted in 6 GDL lead levels. There's no safe lead level effects are irreversible, decreasing IQ while increasing ADHD, juvenile delinquency, and violent crime. Her data showed elevated blood lead levels nearly doubled after the switch, contrary to national trends. Mayor Walling deflected to lead paint, claiming the EPA and DEQ said there was no corrosion issue, just residents' old pipes. Returning to Detroit water was too costly. As the press conference approached, Dr. Mona battled AEB, the Arabic concept of shame, extending beyond the individual to family and community. But when Governor Snyder's office erupted in anger after weeks of silence, she knew she was right. At the conference, she held up a baby bottle filled with Flint water before 100 people and cameras. "This is what our babies are drinking for their first year of life. Lead-tainted water during the period of most critical brain development." The state attacked viciously. Brad Werfel called her conclusions unfortunate. The health department claimed a seasonal anomaly. Sarah Werfel accused her of splicing data, essentially charging scientific fraud. Dr. Mona fell into despair. But at 3 a.m., she woke with renewed clarity. This wasn't about her. It was about Reva, Nicola, Jalen, and all the Flint children whose hands she'd held. She approached media strategically, channeling medical activist Alice Hamilton. Instead of calm reassurance, she spoke in stark terms about neurotoxicity, permanent impairment, and multi-generational effects. She emphasized there is no cure and referenced GM's corroded engine parts. On October 1st, Genesee County declared a public health emergency. The next day, the state conceded. Freedom of Information Act requests revealed deliberate deception. Officials arranged water coolers for state employees in January 2015 while telling residents tap water was safe. The city manipulated samples by pre-flushing, removing aerators, and discarding high lead results. Most disturbing, the state health department had found the spike in July 2015, then covered it up. Legionnaire's disease cases had quadrupled 87 cases and at least 12 deaths. On October 8th, Governor Snyder announced the switchback would happen within a week. In February 2016, Governor Snyder apologized at Dr. Mona's clinic and committed over $100 million to her demanded interventions: enhanced nutrition, medical homes, school nurses, nurse-family partnerships, universal early intervention, and expanded behavioral health access. By April, criminal charges were filed against officials for misleading the EPA and manipulating data. At Nicola's 18-month checkup in October 2016, her mother Grace worried constantly about her daughter's futures. Though Grace had used bottled water, their home tested at 150 ppb lead. Her aunt's house measured 3,000 ppb. Dr. Mona prescribed nutrition support, books, developmental services, and most importantly, hope assuring Grace that despite exposure, her daughters could overcome it with all this goodness. Flint revealed two Americas: one where Dr. Mona's immigrant family found opportunity, and one where children face toxic stresses and insurmountable barriers. Dr. Mona's mother shared a family fable about Haji, whose kindness to birds was repaid when they carried him to the hospital after he fell. Just as those birds lifted Haji, collective action lifted Flint from neglect. When we stand together against injustice, even powerful institutions can be held accountable. Hope remains our most powerful medicine, but only when paired with courage, evidence, and the refusal to look away.